to TV Madness with your host, Makisha Madden-Toby. Thanks for listening. On today's show, I'll be talking to TV critic Joel Keller about the season 6 finale of Mad Men and James Gandolfini's untimely and sad death. Joel co-hosts the podcast Antenna Free TV and has written for a number of outlets, including the New York Times, AV Club, Zaptuit, and the now-defunct TV Squad. He's also, along with me, one of the co-founders of the awesome website, AntennaFree.tv. Please, please check it out. It's awesome. And without further ado, Joel, welcome to the show.
Hey, Makisha. Thanks for having me on, finally. I know you've had my Antenna Free TV podcast co-host, Jason Hughes, on.
So. Right. I was just warming things up for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you're the headliner.
Yes, I figured, yeah, let him talk it out with you and get the conversational juices flowing, and then you come over to
exactly.
me.
Exactly. So. Exactly.
And yes, you are one of my partners on the Antenna Free TV website and doing a bang up job so far, and it's been a fun site to manage over the last however long we've had it up. So.
I know. Thank you so much. It's been fun, and I love today's Paula Deen piece. I thought it was really good, and I was really impressed that you were able to turn around so fast. That was really great.
Yeah, found a good writer who had a good viewpoint on it. So I figured now's the time. So mm-hmm. there you go.
Speaking of viewpoints, I really enjoyed your Mad Men piece, which was also on AntennaFree.tv. Check it out, everyone. Can we talk about that a little bit? The season just wrapped. Mm-hmm. And you really, I like your angle in terms of talking about sort of how it's a precursor to what the seventh and final season and how it's going to set the course for that season. Did you enjoy the finale?
Oh, yeah, I love the finale. I thought it was a great turn of events for the show. I don't think anyone really expected that Don Draper was going to actually have a come to Jesus moment. I think everybody was expecting the last season, and then Don Draper's just going to spiral out of control until he, you know, died, you know, in an alley somewhere.
Right.
But it feels like the last season might be the redemption story, or at least somewhat of a redemption story. And I think after this entire season of Don being a jerk, it was a nice turn by Matt Weiner to say, well, he was a jerk for a reason.
So. Right. And it was funny because this happened last season, and it feels like it happened a lot this season as well, whereas people were already ready to write it off. They're like, this is boring. It's not going anywhere. I don't like it. I don't know what's going on. And then the season finale was great, and they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, that I noticed that with Mad Men this year where, see, last year I actually liked the season more than most people called last year the best season the show ever had, where I thought it was an A-minus season. Mm. Whereas this year, I enjoyed the season a lot. But I noticed that critics were, as the weeks were going on, saying, didn't we see this already? Why are we repeating these themes? Why is Don such an a-hole and all that kind of stuff? And it's not until the last week did they all come around and say, oh, that's the reason, which
but
makes
I mean, like,
me
but
wonder.
Didn't we learn that lesson? I'm just, I mean, not you and me, we knew. But didn't some of the people who were, like, quick to, what I'm saying is they were quick to kind of dog it and to only have to come around just like last year. And it's like, well, didn't we learn that last year that it's all for a purpose? It's building up to something. It's not that show. You know what I mean? It's not going to, presumably, so far hasn't disappointed us. So it's not going to disappoint you. Just wait. Just give it a second.
Right. And haven't we learned that lesson for the entire 6 seasons it's been on?
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, I do wonder what these critics, I think just the critics aren't, some of these critics were wondering, like, why isn't the show blowing me away week after week like it used to do? And I'm sitting there going, it really does that? It really used to do that? I always remember seasons starting very slowly and then building to a point.
Right.
Exactly like this one did.
Exactly. Yeah, so, I don't feel like people were as impatient this season as they were last, but I felt like the impatience was still there, and I'm glad it paid off for everyone so far. That's not to say, though, that this season didn't have its flaws. I felt like the Martin Luther King assassination episode left a lot to be desired. I was disappointed that they didn't do more with Dawn and have in terms of her reaction to it. Dawn, the secretary, not Don Draper, but
yes,
Don Draper's secretary, Dawn.
Yeah. They can't make that too confusing at all, you know, Dawn and Dawn.
But no. You know what I mean? I just was disappointed that she didn't have more of an input, you know, other than her awkward hug with Joan. She, you know, that, but she, that was a reactionary thing versus her actually sharing how she felt.
I, I almost felt like, you know, like she got in that MLK episode. It almost felt like Weiner was like obligated to give her and these
but
people
and
in her life
like
that
it.
We've never met.
Right.
Yeah, lines. And the only time I've seen, and the time I've seen that recently on AMC is whenever somebody got killed on The Walking Dead. You know they're going to get killed if they have more lines than they ever had, you know, in
exactly.
a previous episode,
exactly.
like T-Dog or somebody like that.
Right,
like,
T-Dog got real good, and then he was dead.
Right, I was like, is he about to kill Don off or something? That's what I was thinking, because I've never seen her talk more than a couple lines. I've never seen anybody who's in her life. I've never seen anything. And now all of a sudden, she's got a storyline. But and it would have been interesting to see her have a storyline, but all of a sudden, they got past that one episode, and all of a sudden, Don was basically...
Back to being...
Yeah, back to being the secretary. So
yeah, but that's what I mean. That's what I felt like that was actually the most disappointing, was that the episode prior to the MLK episode, they gave her a storyline. They had her at a diner. They gave her a friend. They gave her, you know, a desire to have a love life. And then after, they were like, oh. It was like, no, keep going. And it was gone. She's gone.
I know. That was a bit of a missed opportunity. Big missed opportunity.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that was the biggest one. And I like the whole Bob Benson thing. I never saw that coming. And Sally and...
Yeah, I love how Sally, you know, how Kim and Shifka has completely grown up.
Yeah, I like her.
On the show.
Yeah.
And I've actually wanted to interview Kiernan for a while. I've actually had editors of mine say that we're not sure. It's unpredictable how interviews with kids can turn out. And I go, kids, she speaks better than most adults.
And has for years.
Yeah, exactly. Then that was when she was like 11, not 13. So
right.
I'm like... What you know? So she's much. When she hits 18, she's going to be. I can't imagine how much better of an actress she is than now. And I'm amazed how kids can be such good actresses at that age. So
I know, but you can already tell. It's sort of like Dakota Fanning. You already knew there was a little bit more there than just smiley little face.
Yeah,
acting.
And she should get an Emmy nomination this year. I would think
with any luck. Yeah. Come in, because you know. John Hamm, whether he wins or not, will get one. But
we'll get one. Yeah,
right.
Elizabeth Moss will get one.
Right.
Christina Hendricks will get one. But I hope they give Kiernan Shipka one, because she definitely had her moments this year, especially when she had that look on her face when she caught Don having some fun with the neighbor's wife, Sophia.
Having some fun. Yep. That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know. And her reaction after, too, when he came and knocked on her door, I thought that scene was just spellbinding. I love that. I loved seeing the two of them on that door, on the other, either side of the door, and him not saying much. I just thought that was brilliant, brilliantly executed.
But you know what was the best scene was in the finale? It was the one at the very end to me. Everybody cites the speech that Don made to the Hershey people about how he really grew up, which I think was like a... I think people are going to underestimate how much of a moment that is, like a big moment that is for the series in general. But at the very end, where he shows him where he grew up, and Sally looks at him like, "Oh, that's why you're such a jerk." Not many young actors can pull that look off.
But that's what I'm saying. So to me, this is a defining season for her, and it's but she's getting older. But what was so impressive about her this season is not even the lines. It's her delivery and her, even I would argue, the lack of line. You know what I mean? She didn't even have anything to say. Her face said it all. She was like, "Oh," it was just like, "Oh yeah," like who hasn't looked at their parent that way? Like, oh,
right.
Like now I understand. I'm not necessarily going to give you a complete pass, but now I get it.
Right. Heck, she's a way better actor. Not that I don't like Jessica Paré, but she's a way better actor than Jessica Paré. So.
And according to my friends, has better dental plan. Because I'm just so, you will be surprised how shallow people can be when it comes to poor Jessica Paré's teeth.
Yeah, I know. Her teeth are fine.
How it is. Everybody's so spoiled now with everybody's perfectly, you know, veneered smiles. And she doesn't have that. And they're like, "Wow, get your crazy Canadian grill out of here." And so.
It's Canadian state dentistry. Canadian national
dental. She's still pretty. I don't care what people say.
Her teeth are fine.
So that means now... With the show, and we don't know what that's going to mean until season 7, that Pete, Ted, and Megan are all in L.A. You think we're going to see them again?
Well, I think so. I think Heat especially, I mean, you're not going to have Vincent Kartheiser be like the major player in six seasons and all of a sudden he's gone to seven.
Right.
You know, I don't think you know, Matt Weiner is that daring with his casting.
Or cruel.
Right, or cruel. If I had to just wildly speculate, I think now that Don is kind of a free agent a little bit,
mm-hmm.
He may go to California for a little while, like he thought he was going to do at the beginning of the finale.
Oh, okay.
And
that's a good point.
I think he may encounter Pete and Ted Shaw and Megan out there. But that's just a wild, completely wild speculation on my part.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's all speculation at this point. I mean, wouldn't it be crazy if Pete and Peggy end up together?
That makes sense.
It could happen,
to me,
though, right?
I think it could happen because Pete doesn't have any kind of romantic entanglement, and he's always having bad luck, and so does Peggy. And
scene in the diner where he goes, "You really know me," and she said, "Yeah." I was like, "Oh, like that was like the most." I never expected to have a touching moment like that between the two of them.
But what's weird is that touching moment comes with a little creepiness because you know that, you know, it involves adultery.
And a secret,
you know,
child.
Right. A child born out of wedlock and given away. And you know, it just, you know, and back then Peggy was much more naive than she is now. So,
right.
You know, so would I can't imagine the new the new Peggy, who's Nick, pretty much now the new Don Draper and Billy Cooper Partners, would fall for Pete again. But who knows? You never know.
Yeah, so. They had a moment. They did have a moment.
Yeah, they did have a moment.
Well, I can't wait for season 7 to kick off 2014, and it's going to be the last one. I think it's going to be the last one. I think Matthew Weiner is, like, ready to go. I mean, he's not ready to go, but this is it, right? They're not going to pull a...
Yeah, no, they said this is the last. Season 7 is the last
7.5 or something. Breaking Bad,
yeah,
right?
No, they're not going to pull off, like, a Breaking Bad where they're going to chop the season in half, and I don't think so. I think season 7 is the last season. And I, you know, Jason and I on my podcast have speculated they're going to close out at the end of 1969, and the show will be about the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guess.
Mm-hmm.
So... Because it would make too much sense. It wouldn't make any sense at this point for him to fast forward to 1977.
Right, right,
you know?
Right, right. Yeah. That would be, yeah, they're not going to do that. I don't think they're going to do that. And then last week we lost James Gandolfini, which was a shock to everyone. In fact, I didn't even believe it because TMZ had it first, and I was like, TMZ's always killing people. And then Deadline had it, and I was like, oh. So
you don't believe TMZ when it comes to celebrity deaths?
Well, I mean, they were right on Michael Jackson, but they were wrong on so many. They have killed. So they killed Sinbad. They've killed, like, Bill Cosby. They killed so many other people since Michael Jackson.
Usually when TMZ has it, I don't know. Usually I think when TMZ has a celebrity death, they're usually on the money. But maybe I didn't see the Bill Cosby one. Then maybe I would have
They keep killing people. And so that's why I was like, oh, TMZ's always killing somebody. And then when Deadline had it, I was like, oh, man, he's dead. Like, because part of me didn't want to believe it. So because it was TMZ, I was like, okay. And it was crazy because TMZ broke it hours before everybody else even touched it.
Right.
Like 7 hours or something crazy like that. And that, so it wasn't as much as me. Other people were like, TMZ, are you killing people again? TMZ.
Yeah.
And then he was actually dead.
Right. My wife first saw it on Facebook while we were watching something. I thought it was one of those Facebook rumors, like the Bill Cosby is dead thing or whoever else is dead thing. But apparently it was not. So my favorite part is the New York Post continues to harp on the last meal he had before he died.
What? No.
Yeah, every time there's a story about Gandolfini, they actually throw a paragraph in about the two buckets of shrimp and the mayonnaise and sauce and this and that. And I'm like, as if having a big meal, because you will guess, well, hey, he's fat and he had a big meal, so that's why he had a heart attack and died.
No.
So,
no. Are you serious? That's awful. I've not seen that.
I mean, that's the assumption when they put that in there. I mean, that's pretty much what they did. These are the same guys who then, of course, just put two people on the cover of their newspaper and said these two are the Boston Marathon bombers. So you never know what they'll put in their paper. So, but you know, it was a shocking and sad death, though, and that's one of those people you never ever expect to hear. You know?
No, because he was still relatively young. He was only 51. And then I think the other thing, too, is, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think people feel like because he played that character for, 7 years or whatever, and And he's Tony Soprano. He'll always be Tony Soprano to everyone. And it was like Tony died. It was just...
Yeah.
I mean, I know he worked hard to get away from that, and he didn't want to be Tony Soprano forever, but he was, and that's how people... I think that's why people were so hurt and sad.
Well, and when you're a character actor, and he was a character actor before and after The Sopranos.
Right.
You're a character actor who plays one role in a very popular and very well-regarded show for a long time. That role sticks with you. It sticks with you because, you know, it's like Ted Danson is going to, even though Ted Danson has had leading roles in CSI and Becker, and he's forever going to be known as Sam Malone.
He's always going to be Sam Malone.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, Gandolfini, I don't even think he's even that, he would have been even that upset to always be known as Tony Soprano because it's a role to be proud of.
Yeah. And he was so good at it, and he won Emmys for it, and people loved him. I mean,
yeah, but apparently he was much more shy and quiet than Tony Soprano ever was.
Yeah.
So, but very much a working class guy, very much he'd hang out with the doorman at his building in New York rather than, you know, go to a celebrity party or something like that.
Yeah, so, and he was a bit of a wise ass, which was fun. I mean, I remember the last season, I had just moved to L.A. and I covered the SAG Awards, and he was backstage, and someone asked him some ridiculous question. He did not suffer that person at all, but he was just, like, really quick, and everybody was like, oh, God, you know, right. Embarrassed for the reporter. But it was just one of those moments that I'll remember now with him when I think of him, because it's just, he's gone too soon. He's just gone.
Yeah, and one of the other parts about Gandolfini is that he and the character are from New Jersey, and
you're
from
New Jersey.
New Jersey,
yeah. But you didn't watch Sopranos, is it right? Are you kidding me with that?
What? Yeah, I've
isn't
seen
that in
very
the state policy? Like, don't you cannot get a driver's license if you don't watch Sopranos?
No, it is not state policy that you must watch The Sopranos or be a fan of Bruce Springsteen or
what? You're not a fan. Wait a minute.
No. I like Bruce Springsteen, but I've never seen him live. I've never seen him.
Yeah. I'm kidding. I have to give you a hard time for that, though.
Right. Well, a lot of people outside New Jersey do think it's a requirement for residency in the state, but it's not. So, you know, at the time, The Sopranos were on, I didn't have HBO, and I guess the DVDs were around. But you know how it is. Once you start getting, you know, a few seasons into a show, you stop. You're like, well, do I have this? I wasn't into binge watching as much back then, so
okay. It's not too late though. Now maybe you'll have a different perspective. Like you
have
time.
Yeah, I do want to catch up with it. I never saw The Wire either.
Okay, I have to end this interview right now, sir. Right now.
Yeah, how can I call myself a TV critic? Right? I know. It's my secret shame. Not so secret shame.
What?
So. You know,
I was going to give you a pass on The Sopranos, but The Wire, Joel.
I know it happens. It happens. I didn't have HBO. Not a binge watcher. So
I know what I'm getting you for Christmas. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, fine. Send me that Wire box set. I'll be happy with that.
Right? Okay. But right. I'm really grateful for you doing the show. This was a lot of fun, and this is our time. So you want to plug anything? AntennaFree.tv, people have to listen to you guys, and the podcast is a lot of fun. The site is a lot of fun as well, and people have to check it out, right? Is there anything else you can plug?
That's a good plug. AntennaFree.tv is where it is, and you can find the podcast there. You know, I've written for – you can find much of my recent stuff at the AV Club. I write for a website, offshoot of Fast Company, called Co-Create. And my stuff has been there.
Yeah, I liked the Richard Pryor piece. That was good.
Yeah, you and I were the only ones who – you and I and Eric
and Dagan, so,
have a tribute.
Holding down the floor.
We're the ones who watch that. Yeah, that's it. You know, so you can see my writing in various places. But you know, Antenna Free TV, though, you can find myself and Makisha and a whole bunch of good writers, and that site is becoming a whole lot of fun to do. So
yeah,
go and read. You'll enjoy it.
Exciting stuff. Thanks again, Joel.
All right, thanks, Makisha.
You rock. That was Joel Keller, everybody. He's awesome. He's a TV critic. Check him out, AntennaFree.tv. And you can find his other stuff really easily if you Google his name, Joel, J-O-E-L-K-E-L-L-E-R, Joel Keller, the New Jersey guy who has not watched The Sopranos or The Wire. I'm just kidding. No, I love him. Thanks again, Jill. And we have to thank our sponsor, Record Surplus LA, the last record store. Check them out at recordsurplusla.com. NPR West, the awesome Theo, the sound engineer with the right gear. He's the man. People, you got to check him out. And production assistant and graphic artist, Adam Janis. Thanks, Adam. And thank you for listening.